Soundstripe.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to That's Relatable. My name is Brooke, and I am here to pretty much talk about all things that I struggle with and things that I've been through, and not just me, but things that I am finding out lots of us deal with. Today, I'm talking about probably the biggest thing I don't want to talk about, and that's Christianity. And that makes me nervous to do. Not because of anything other than the way I'm afraid this will be received. Okay. So I am a Christian and I have zero shame in saying that I love Jesus and I fully and truly believe in him with everything that I have. That's not what's making me cringe. What makes me cringe is the rep that Christians already have and how I'm afraid. I do not want this to be taken as a episode where I'm trying to shove my views down your throat. So let me explain a little bit of a backstory, or I guess the purpose of this one. First of all, when I had the idea to do a podcast, it's something I pray about a lot, something I prayed about a lot, something I was really trying to get clarity on before I even jumped into it. And that's not even something I really discuss with others. Like, I don't talk about my prayer life. I don't talk about the things that I do that are faith-based because I just don't want to put myself up there as if this is like a hierarchy. Like, I think what we're going to get into in just a second, I'm already jumped the gun a little bit, but like sometimes I think Christians make themselves out to be like, ooh, we're so good. Well, I was praying about it and I'm just perfect. So I just pray like barf. Like that's how I'm afraid this will be received. So anyways, I was thinking about starting a podcast and I was really like searching for some clarity on it. I was praying, doing my thing. And I really felt like, okay, let's do this. It's time to get this thing up and running. And it was funny though, because in my head, the one regulation I had in my head for this podcast was it is not going to be Christian based. I don't want it to be Christian based because that's the sort of thing that would make me cringe before I was in and like confident with my faith. Like anytime I heard Christian based or Christian advertised, I was like, ugh, barf. Like they're just, here comes a lecture, brace yourself, here we go. And that is absolutely not what this is. What this episode is intended for is to bring some clarity and some encouragement and some hope to maybe those who don't have a full understanding of what it means to be a Christian. Because like I said, I think there are a loud group of extremists in every sort of religion and in every sort of group. And same thing with Christianity. I think society has grown to perceive Christians as very snooty and holier than thou and pushy and forceful and just like better and so many gross things that really truly do not align with what our religion is and what this faith-based belief is. I am a Christian and I will always say that, but there is a weird little twist in my head where it's like, okay, well, I'm the Christian who focuses on relationships with God, not just like the rules of Christianity. Even with the rules and whatever being part of the religion, like my view in Christianity is a relationship with God and not just following a bunch of set rules that society has been made out to believe is all that we do. So I want to go back to kind of where this cringiness comes from for myself personally. I grew up in a very small conservative town where the majority of the population is either Amish or conservative Mennonites. And then there's a smaller group of us who don't fall in either of those categories. And so everywhere in my small community, you see faith-based principles being pushed onto others. And because of the community and our beliefs, it's generally accepted perfectly fine. Like no one throws a fit about it that you might see in big cities or bigger towns or whatever. It's just kind of the way here. And I love that now. But as a kid growing up, I obviously was still trying to figure it out, what it meant to be a Christian, what was really the reason behind it all. And growing up in such a conservative community, you would assume that would be the best place for your faith to flourish. But a lot of times it actually ends up doing the opposite. So I grew up, I'm trying not to word vomit on you guys. So much is just like rushing into my head right now. But like I said, I grew up in a small town. So the school I went to was obviously very small. The class I graduated in was not even 90 students in my class, I don't think. Maybe like 70 to 80 kids in my class. And my grade was not Amish, but I would say a majority of them were conservative Mennonites, or just Mennonites in general. And growing up with my classmates, and this is not to hate on anybody in my grade, whatever school, it's fine. But as a teenager growing up, I was very resentful of my classmates, because kids who thought they were doing good things for Christians were actually in turn damaging those around them, I think. So let me explain. Like there were a lot of kids who tried to like coach other peers and be like, you need to do this. You should pray about this. You need to do A, B, and C, blah, 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 blah. And so I grew up with a bunch of people telling me like, oh, you need to do better here. You should do better there. You can't do this. And this is the stupidest little example, but it's the best way I can put it into words that maybe will make more sense to the listeners. And that was in high school. I remember this just like perfectly, like perfect in my head. I can just remember this as if it happened yesterday because I was so incredibly ticked off about it. We're sitting in the cafeteria at lunchtime. And again, I'm like a junior, so 17-ish. And I don't even remember what I was talking about at the time, but I know somewhere along the line I was telling a story. And in my story, I said, oh, it pisses me off. And the girl sitting next to me turned and looked at me and was like, Brooke, you really need to work on your language. And I just freaking went red hot in my body. I just, oh, okay, well, now I'm super duper pissed. So thanks for your advice. Ooh, cool. Like, I remember that feeling so distinctly of being like, don't you dare try to tell me what I need to do. Because all I was receiving from those types of tips, what maybe she thought she was doing, and she maybe thought she was trying to help, I don't know. But all I was hearing in that moment was, you're not being a good person, or you need to do better. You're slacking. Like I took that personally because I had heard it so many times. Just these little digs and these little remarks always about, ooh, you need to clean it up. You need to do better. And so even so, like I've always considered myself a Christian. Like I was baptized when I was in eighth grade. Like I've always had that belief in God, but I don't know. It's just been a little muddy trying to figure it out along the way as a teenager, which I'm sure it is for everyone. My whole point in that story is these kids are like community members who thought they were doing good by telling us what we should and shouldn't do were in turn pushing me the heck away. Like by the time I graduated high school, I remember thinking like, I really just must be a horrible person. Like everybody tells me I need to turn or burn. Like I'm gonna, ooh, if I die tomorrow, it's not gonna be good for me. Like that's the way I was perceiving myself. And what a depressing thought process. Like I really was so down in the dumps by the time I graduated high school. Like just it completely put out any sort of light or hope that I had in my faith, because I'm trying to learn about Jesus. I'm trying to grow in my relationship with Jesus, but I've got everyone else around me telling, oh, you need to do better. Telling me that I need to step it up a notch, clean up your language, don't listen to that, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? Shut the heck up, because all you're doing is pushing me away from this whole religious thing altogether. And so, like I said, I graduated high school thinking I must be a horrible person. And so it was actually the best thing for me to get out of that town and go to college. Because guess what? When I got to college in the bigger city, the bigger city of Indiana, actually, it's a pretty big place now. It's growing and growing. Anyways, when I went to college, I found out that, oh, wow, I'm seeing some things here that I've never seen in my little hometown. Turns out I'm a pretty good person. I don't know what these people were telling me my whole time, but I'm not as horrible as they all are making me out to think I am. That's when the light switch went off, because now I was able to finally forget about the people who were ruining it for me, and I was able to focus on an actual genuine relationship with God. And truly, I remember being a freshman in college and thinking like, I'm not going to youth group anymore because I'm not in high school. I don't have all the summer and winter church camps that I'm going to anymore. And in this moment, me talking as a freshman in college, I feel closer to God than I ever have in my small little conservative community. It was a breath of fresh air to get away from the people who were forcing their opinions at me and pushing me away. And I'm so cringed. I get so cringy and uncomfortable and uneasy when people are talking about their faith now, because I'm afraid that someone else in the area is receiving it as a pushy sort of message. And that is the last thing I want to do to any listeners right now or anyone in general. But I got to be honest with you. That's why I kind of have this bad taste in my mouth whenever I hear things being advertised as Christian, because in my head, I'm assuming someone's coming to lecture me and tell me I need to do better. And I don't need to hear that anymore. I'm tired of thinking I'm not good enough. I know I'm not good enough. That's the whole reason that I have a Savior in Jesus. And so I don't need everybody else to point out my insecurities and my failures and my whatevers. I just want to clarify that we're not all that way. We're not all pushy and condemning and mean. And I think the thing is, we have to, if you are a Christian and listening to this, maybe you resonate with me and you're kind of on my, I don't want to say side, but you can understand where I'm coming from. You can relate to the fact that, oh yeah, I've felt that way too, and people have pushed me away. Or maybe you're a Christian listening right now thinking, oh crap, maybe I've been pushing people away. Like, we have got to get back to the basics of what it means to be a Christian and what it does, and what maybe extremists are saying it means to be a Christian. So the first thing I want to talk about, the first myth, let's call this myth busting. Yeah, that just popped in my head. I like it. The first myth is we just follow a bunch of rules. Christians just follow a bunch of rules. And while there are things that we follow, and obviously we like sins that we don't want to commit, it's not just a list of rules. We're not just following these steps and now we're getting closer to Jesus. Absolutely not. I don't know scripture verses very well. I have like a solid maybe 5 verses that I can refer to in my head that I have memorized. And so I need to actually think of where this is coming from. But somewhere in the Bible, I can find it. It says that some people will die and go to heaven or go to Jesus someday on judgment day. And something along the lines that he's going to say, you never, or I never knew you. And they're going to say, well, didn't we like cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do miracles? Didn't we do this and this and this and this? And Jesus would say, I never knew you, or you never knew me. And something along those lines. And I'm sorry if I'm butchering that for those of you who are better with memorizing your verses, but I know it's in there and I can find it and I can link it. I'll link the Bible verse. I can write it down, whatever. I will give you that scripture at the end of this. But that's the whole point there, right? Like Jesus is telling us, like, I need to know you. It's not just a set list of rules. You don't just have to go to church every Sunday, and you don't just have to be perfect and try not to sin all the time. Like, obviously those are things we want to do, but that's not what our religion is based off of. So let's, first of all, cancel the turn or burn culture that so many people are still talking about. Oh, turn or burn, you're going to go to hell if you don't do this. Like, okay, time the heck out. Now, oh, that sounds so comforting. Yeah, okay, let's worship your God who says turn or burn. Ooh, that sounds fun. Like, how does that make sense to anybody? We have to turn from that culture and actually say, well, hey, this is what it means to be a Christian. It means to actually have a relationship with Jesus and to know who he is so we can further our relationship, and life gets so much freaking better. Why does no one talk about how much life gets better? We all just talk about like, ooh, you're bad if you do this. Ooh, shame, shame. Quit it. It's not just a list of rules. Shut up, okay? In the most loving way, shut up. Stop telling people that. Let's get them to actually know who Jesus is if we want to genuinely talk about our relationship with him and talk about our religion. And this is another myth, okay? Myth busting number 2 is that all Christians are perfect and we are just boring and we like to sit at home and knit. Well, like, I don't know, these boring things. And then we go to church every Sunday, and then we go to church twice on Wednesday, and then we'll even get a church service on Saturday. Like, that is how I feel like Christians are made out to be, that they have a boring life. Oh, you're going to go home and then you're going to go to church and then you're going to be perfect and you're going to soak up each other's perfectness because you're just so squeaky clean and perfect. Like, no. Okay, let's time out. I wrestle with this one on how to word it because I don't want people to hear this and think I'm trying to justify going out and getting drunk and doing stupid things. That's not what I'm trying to say. But I know a lot of Christians who will put on a front in front of others and act like they don't drink and they don't hang out with friends and they don't have fun and they're squeaky clean and perfect. And then behind closed doors, they go and they are crazy, bouncing off the walls, doing all sorts of insane things. And like I said, I want to be very careful on how I talk about this because I'm not trying to justify going and being an idiot and getting drunk and doing stupid things. But I am trying to say that as Christians, we still have fun. You can still have fun. I still have fun. It seems like only a couple times a year now because we've all grown up and are out of college and have families and whatnot. But there are several times a year where I will get to go hang out with my girlfriends from college. And guess what? We have a good time. And we go to Crazy Pins. And we have adult beverages. And we dance. And we go be stupid. And that doesn't mean we let our morals all fly out the window and start being raunchy and doing bad things that are not aligned with our beliefs. But it does mean we go out and we have adult beverages and we have fun. And I'm not going to hide that. And I'm not going to act like I don't do those things because, again, you're just adding to the problem when we act like we're perfect and squeaky clean and that we don't have fun. I still have fun. I love my life. I think I have a lot of fun. And I am fully a Christian. And again, don't take that as me saying, well, go sin and do what you want and who cares, because that's not what I'm saying. But I do think there is a line of what is considered okay. And then obviously, if you can't handle yourself and you're pushing limits and you're ditching your morals and you're really having addictions or problems, then you know, okay, you know there's a line. So I'm not talking about extreme situations like that. But for the person who's sitting here thinking, well, I can't be a Christian because then I'm not going to have fun. Life is going to be boring and I'm not going to be able to do anything but sit at home and knit. That's not the case. I never want someone to take the words I'm saying and think of me as being a hypocrite. I'm just trying to be honest with you guys. I'm just trying to be honest and say that as a Christian or as a person in general, you can still have a relationship with Jesus and still enjoy your life. And did you know that he wants you to enjoy your life? He doesn't want you to just be stuck at home and bored and isolated and by yourself and lonely. So I think that's important to acknowledge. Like, it's not him yelling at you and saying, you need to do better. You're being a bad person. You're horrible. In some cases, we need to be shook up and hear things along those lines. But that is not what Christianity is. We as Christians are called to imitate Jesus and be like Jesus. And so when I think of God and I think of how I would imitate Jesus, it's in a way that's just loving people and just bringing light to them. I'm not here to justify your sin and tell you it's okay for you to do things that you know are wrong. If you're a Christian, okay, even if you're not a Christian, I'm not going to encourage things that are against my beliefs, but I will also not yell at you and take the turn or burn approach. If and when someone is willing to hear me out and wants to genuinely talk about what it means to know and love Jesus and to be loved by him, then game on, let's do it. I just think there's such a problem with the approach that Christians have when we're trying to confront people who are not living according to what we believe is right and wrong. We can't approach them in a way that's condemning and yelling at them. They don't know our God. They don't care about our God. How are we going to yell at them and expect for them to come closer to God? We are allowed to not agree with them, and that's okay. But to take the approach of yelling at them and being mean and angry is never going to work. And honestly, we're out of our minds if we think that's going to work. I think we have to be incredibly delicate and careful with the way that we are trying to introduce Jesus to other people. If that's our goal, we may have one shot. That might be the only shot that this person has to know anything about Jesus. And so if we're going to take the approach of yelling and condemning and being mean and nasty, well, what do you think that's going to show them about Jesus? They're not going to have a very nicely painted picture of him. Like, if that's going to be the only exposure they have to him, why would we not focus it completely on love? It's like, if we're just making ourselves
present to these people and loving them and loving others and not being out here just yelling at people, God will do the rest. He'll step in and fill in the gaps if we can just be a light and a source of love and encouragement to them. I truly believe that. I'm just saying, we as Christians, we got to take a different approach. That's the gist of this whole thing. We can't keep telling people that they're horrible and expect for them to want to come to know Jesus. The thing that's kind of ironic is that if we can encourage people to focus on Jesus first and actually come to know him first, even while they're still sinning, even while they're still making mistakes, the more they come to know him and love him and have a relationship with him, the more likely they are to not really want to do the things that are sinful. And that will happen over time. I can speak to that. I've seen that in my own life. The more I've come to know Jesus and the more I've come to know him and love him, the more I'm like, ooh, I don't really care to do A, B, and C anymore. I'm good with not doing that as much anymore. And so what I want to redefine now is what it does mean to be a Christian. So again, it's not just a set of rules. Okay, it's about practicing a relationship with God, coming to know him, spending time in his word. And gosh dang it, guys, I'm not going to lie. Reading the Bible is brutal sometimes. It's freaking, I don't know. Am I wrong in saying that? It can be super boring. I think it can be boring because sometimes I don't understand what the crap is being said. It's like I read a sentence, I got to go back and reread it 4 more times. And then they get into like lineage of like heritage, generational names and stuff. I got to reread those 47 times to even understand where the family lines are from. Like, it's just... The Bible can be difficult to read sometimes, but I, again, can testify to that the more I've spent just trying, I spend maybe 15, 20, 30 minutes trying to just like get something out of it, the easier it becomes. And so if you just try and you put yourself out there, you're going to be amazed by what can really happen, and you're going to start to see Jesus for who he is, and then it's going to have another effect, and it kind of piggybacks off of each other, all of these different experiences that you get to have with Jesus, and then you come to know him. And then guess what? Now, like, following the rules, or however you want to say it, becomes a lot easier because it's just something I'm good with doing now. And I think too, is like, as Christians, we're told to, again, imitate Jesus. Well, if you look at Jesus in the Bible and see what he does, he's a bit of a rule breaker. Like, he's breaking religious rules that are just set in stone. And, you know, you have all of these extremists, again, religious extremists, who are trying to say you can only do this and this and this, and shame on you for doing this. Like, what is it? They eat on the Sabbath or something. Like, they're just breaking these religious rules that people have been following. And I think that's kind of important to, yeah, no, not kind of, that's important to recognize. Jesus was breaking rules, and he was focusing on just building people up and loving people and bringing them to God in a relationship aspect, and not just by doing all of these. I can just testify to how good God is because I've seen it. And I've seen how it's drove out my anxiety and depression. I know that's such a like cliche. Of course we're going to say that. Ooh, everybody deals with anxiety and depression, so of course I'd say that. But no, I mean that wholeheartedly. Also, guys, I've seen things that you truly cannot explain. First thing, probably, actually no, there's quite a few things. So when I was about 17 years old, No, 17 years old. What am I talking about? 22 years old in 2017 is what I meant to say. I had a doctor's appointment and later found out that I had early cancer cells, I guess. I had adenocarcinoma and squamous cell carcinoma to the point that they said it was to the point of malignancy, but it was not to the point where I needed any sort of treatment other than surgery. And so that right there, as minor as it seems to some, was huge, where I was like, oh, that's a God thing. I never go to the freaking doctor. I don't like to. I get like white coat syndrome. I get nervous. It gives me stomach ache. I don't like to go. And for whatever reason, I just randomly decided, hey, I should probably get a checkup. Okay. You cannot tell me any other reason. You cannot tell me that was not God. 1,000% in my heart, I know that's God. Second thing, my dad's massive heart attack. Huge. Okay. It's a widowmaker heart attack. For those of you who don't know what that means the main artery from your heart is clogged up. His was like 100% clogged. Obviously causes a heart attack. I need to look up the percentage actually. I'm kind of annoyed with myself that I forgot to, but the percentage of patients who survive widowmaker heart attacks is so low
Okay. My dad's doctor even said to him, like, I don't ever get to talk to patients like you because these patients never survive. My dad survived because he happened to get to the hospital within 15 minutes of being at the hospital, the ER, had his heart attack, coded, flatlined, gone. Thank God he was there and hooked up to the machines and had nurses and people around him. They were able to resuscitate him with CPR, get him to emergency surgery, and he is still with us today. Had he not been in that exact spot in that exact second, he would not be here today. You cannot tell me that's not a God thing. Third thing here, my other sister, diagnosed with breast cancer as a 29-year-old, I believe, goes through chemo, loses her hair. She has three kids. I mean, things that are like insane. She's the healthiest of us all, always working out, has always cared about her fitness and foods that she eats. And so for her to be the one that gets cancer is incredibly ironic and insane in that sense. But also, she found it on her own. She just randomly happened to decide to go do a self-exam, which, hello, everybody needs to be doing self-exams for that, and found a lump, and there it was. Stage one cancer, I believe. Had to go through chemo and a double mastectomy, and is cancer-free now. All of these things add up, you guys. Even to my job change. Like, this is another episode for another day, but I completely switched careers after graduating with a dental hygiene degree. I worked in that field for 4 years, and then without missing a beat was able to transfer over to a completely different field of teaching secondary education. So I'm a high school math teacher now. Those two topics are completely unrelated. And again, this will be another episode to completely like explain how that even happened. But without missing a beat was able to get into a classroom and start teaching, which is a freaking huge passion of mine. I love it. I'm so, so thankful for that. But like all of these little things, I look back in my life and big things, obviously, but I look back, and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's no way to explain these things without just knowing that it was God. Like, he is so good, and he wants to do things in your favor, you guys. And he wants to love you guys. And he's not just here to yell at you and tell you you're a bad person. And I'm so sorry if people have made you feel that way. You're not a bad person. You're fine. It's like I tell my students sometimes. I know specifically there's a couple kids who get in a lot of trouble. They'll come to me and, oh, yeah, I got in trouble again, blah, blah, blah. I know I'm just a bad kid. And I always tell them, no, you're not a bad kid. You're a good kid making stupid choices. And that's you guys too. And that's me too. We're good people making stupid choices. And the good thing is we're able to stop those. And the good thing is, we can go to Jesus about those, and we can love him, and he can love us, and he wants to do good in our life. He wants to do so much more in our life than what we are even capable of dreaming up. So much more. You don't have to be stuck in a job that you hate. You don't have to live a life that you hate. You don't have to feel down in the dumps and depressed and anxious and all these things. You guys, I know I'm getting preachy, and I'm annoyed at myself for that because that's the last thing I want to do, but someone out there needs to know that it's not that bad. In fact, it's so, so good. You don't have to be scared of Christians. And even though, like, personally, I feel a little icky having that Christian title on me, I don't do it for the Christian title. I do it for the relationship that I have with God. And that's the good stuff, you guys. No one wants to get into a religion where they're told they're being horrible. It makes zero sense to me. So again, the more you come to know Jesus, those things that the rules or the sins that we're trying to not do as we're as followers, they come a little more naturally. They come easier because you are confident in who you're worshiping. Ugh. I just don't want anybody to think we have it all together. Like Christians, we don't have it all together. We're not squeaky clean. We're not all mean. We're not all pushy. Just everybody needs to take a step back. We need to reevaluate how this is being received, how we're giving off this Christian title and how it's being received by others. Did I just word vomit all over you guys? I think I did. Like, I don't even know if I took one single breath that whole time. I'm going to say it again. This is not my attempt to shove my beliefs down your throat. If you have questions on my beliefs and maybe you want some advice and I don't have it perfectly, Lord have mercy. I'm a hot mess left and right. But I do know for certain, like without any doubt in my mind, that I have Jesus in my heart. He's got my back. And again, he wants so much goodness in your life. The last thing, another myth buster before I go. a lot of people think that, and this is my fear, this was a big fear of mine, that when you're a Christian, you're going to have to do things that you don't like. Like you're going to be pulled out of everything that you love. I remember so many different messages where the pastor refers to some sort of extreme situation where he says, oh, I was called to move from my house and I had to leave my town and I had to move to, I don't know, freaking Europe, and I just left my family because that's what God was calling me to do, and I had to do A, B, and C, all of these things that I never wanted to do. I had to do them now because God asked me to. And while those are amazing stories, and I really do think those are great testimonies to how good God can be, like, that was a huge fear of mine, that now if I'm a Christian, God's going to ask me to do things I don't want to do. Okay, maybe, yeah, probably to some degree, but it's not always going to be that extreme. In fact, God, I believe this wholeheartedly, puts specific desires in your heart, things that you want to do, different goals that you have and different things that you want to accomplish, because they were meant for you to do. He puts those desires there for a reason. It's not all about, oh, I have to do the things I don't want to do. Sometimes it's the exact opposite. God is helping me do the thing that I've been trying to do for years. He's getting me to from point A to point B when I've been stuck for so long. It's not always just like, oh crap, now I got to pack up and move from my house that I love and the home that I'm in. And to each their own. I mean, people will have those extreme cases sometimes, and that's great. Like that's their journey though. That's not yours. Don't let the fear of what God's going to ask you scare you away, because I don't know, maybe that was just a me thing, but I know that was a huge thing of like, oh, I don't want to get close to God because then he's going to ask me to do things that I don't want to do. Maybe sometimes, but if that's the case, you're going to have an overwhelming sense of peace about it. That is not even going to seem like that hard of a thing to do. Might not be easy. Might be things you're dreading a little bit, but you're going to have so much comfort and peace and clarity in that, that it's going to feel good about moving forward and doing those things that he asks of you. But really, what I want you to understand is God, again, puts those desires in your heart for a reason. It's not all about he's going to make you do things you don't want to do. In fact, a lot of the times it's going to be he's helping you do the things that you've been wanting to do for so long, you just didn't know how to do it. So just know that he's on your side. He's got your back. He wants so much greatness for you. And it's not just a list of freaking stupid rules. Okay. I'm going to end it there. I'm truly sorry if this came off preachy, because like I said, that makes me cringe. It makes me just like, ugh, like I just get a little gag reflex going on, because that is not my calling. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a pastor, none of that. And I don't care to be. So I'm going to leave that for the trained ones. But this is just strictly encouragement and informative for anybody who's maybe felt like, I don't know, just mistreated by a Christian, or someone who's been like, oh, the Christians are mean, or people, those Christians, they just, all they do is hate on you, and all they do is push you, and all they do is tell you you're so bad. That's not all of us. In fact, that's a small majority of Christians who are just loud. I just hope this offered some clarity to anybody who's been struggling or wrestling with this idea of being a Christian, because I get it. I've been so turned off by the idea of being a Christian before, and thank God that he literally was able to be like, whoa, pause, that's not what this is about. They've been missing the mark the whole time. I'm just thankful for that clarity now, and I hope that maybe I could have helped anybody find that clarity as well today. So thank you guys so much for listening. I just love you guys to pieces. This is so fun for me to be able to sit down and do, whether there's one person listening or 100, whatever. Don't know, don't care. Just know I love you so stinking much, and yeah, we'll do this again next time.